this weekend. I always have trouble beginning. I'm afraid of this thing. Okay, is that better? I always have trouble beginning. Once I get into it, I feel a little more comfortable. Let me make a few introductory comments that will sort of help me along, and I think set the pace a little bit for what I'd like to share this weekend. First of all, for those 50 or so that haven't been here before, and you see something like this, you're liable to get a little bit afraid. It's for your own protection, honestly. I write very large. You'll see there's not much on each page. And that's so that I can just glance down and see at a moment where I am. And it keeps me from going off on tangents. And so some people can speak extemporaneously without notes and all, but I'm not one of those. And so if you'll bear with the notes, I hope it's not too distracting. Another thing I want to say is that because we're going to be using so many different Bible references, I've jotted them all down so that I won't have to take a lot of time to look them up. I'll give all the reference, and if you have your Bible and you're speedy enough, then you can keep up. Now, some passages during the weekend we'll be looking at in more detail, and of course those we'll turn to and we'll read right from the Scripture. So if I don't open my Bible, that doesn't mean I'm not preaching from the Bible, because I've written down so many of these verses. And then what's already been said, I'll just say again, we're not here this weekend to look at liberty. That's our theme. And we'll be talking about liberty, and we'll be talking about liberty in the Lord. But I don't want you to be in bondage to liberty. I don't want you to be preoccupied with liberty. We've come to see the Lord. And we're trusting that He's gracious and He's going to unveil Himself. And this weekend together, according to our appetites and according to our needs and according to our capacities, He's going to reveal Himself to us. And that's what we want to see. Another comment I'm going to make before I begin is this. I hope that as we go through some of these principles, that things that I say early in my series might become clear. I'm not condemning any individual or any group when I mention some of these things. And if I make any statements that seem like I'm stepping on some individual or some group, I don't mean to do that intentionally. We want to look at what liberty is. And I might step on those expressions of liberty if there's a possibility someone's taking them as a source of liberty. What might be legitimate as an expression of liberty can be confusing if you take it as a source. Now, that will become more clear as we go on. I guarantee this, that every time I stand up here, you're going to hear this sentence. You'll know it by the time we're done. Some of you already know it. Every time we come together to study the Bible, whether we come individually or corporately as a group, there's one indispensable principle of Bible study that we cannot do without. Many things are helpful in the study of God's Word. Commentaries, Bible, atlases, books of sermons, and so on. But we cannot do without total dependence upon the Lord Himself. Helpless dependence upon God's Holy Spirit. You're not going to learn this weekend what you hear. You're only going to learn what the Holy Spirit writes in your heart, in your spirit. Only what God gives you are you going to get. You never get what you get on your own. You only get what God gives you. That's all you really have. And so let's take this time now, bow together, and trust God to speak to us. Our Father, we do thank You for this weekend, for prearranging all the details to bring us here. And now we would ask you by your grace to detach us from everything that would turn our eyes away from Christ. And as we study together in your word, we pray that you would take the veil away, enlighten us, illumine us, teach us, that we might know him and be conformed into his glorious image. Thank you in advance that you're going to meet with us and you're going to do that, because we claim it in the matchless name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. As you know from the announcement to the conference, that sheet that I think all of you had, our text for this weekend is Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. I don't know how many times you're going to hear that this weekend. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. It was for liberty. It was for freedom Christ set us free. I know this, that the Bible is just full of verses on freedom and verses on liberty. And I know in my own heart, as I study this series is born out of a hunger and experience in my own life to know what it meant. If the Bible says for freedom Christ set us free, then I ought to know what freedom is. If it's God's plan for every Christian to live in the liberty of the Lord, we ought to know at least what that is. Listen to these Bible verses. The first time the Lord Jesus ever made a formal announcement of his mission, his announcement touched right at the nerve center of freedom. It's in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captive. John announced the same truth. John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:36, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. The Apostle Paul does the same thing. He deals with Christians as a spiritual people, circumcised in their hearts, Jewish in their spirits. And he says in Galatians 4:26, the present Jerusalem, she's in slavery with her children, but the Jerusalem that is above, she's free. She's our mother. 2 Corinthians 3:17, and now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Galatians 5:13, you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity of the flesh, but through love serve one another. And so everywhere you look in the Bible, you just see that God is underscoring freedom. God warned through the Apostle Paul about legalists. And in chapter 2, verse 4 of Galatians, he said, they will come in as false brethren who have sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage. James even gives a new title to the law, James 1:25. He calls it the perfect law of liberty. Even the future holds this prospect. Romans 8:21. The creature itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And so we want to look at freedom. July 4th, 1776, in Independence Hall in Philadelphia, a bell was rung to proclaim the independence of the United States. And on that bell, there were engraved, and you're going to hear about Jubilee before the weekend is over. On that bell is engraved a Bible verse. It comes from Leviticus chapter 25, and verse 10. You shall proclaim a release throughout the land to all the inhabitants thereof. And it's true that 59 years later, that old Liberty Bell cracked. But the Liberty Bell we're going to talk about is not cracked. There's nothing like the Liberty Bell the Lord Jesus set ringing when He died upon the cross. When He said, "It is finished," He proclaimed a real jubilee. That's what we want to talk about. It started ringing then. It's been ringing ever since. It's ringing now, and it'll be ringing through this weekend. Und so weiter. And so on. All the way until the end. You know, I don't know if you've ever done a topical study in the Word of God. It's not exactly an easy thing to do. Where do you begin? My heart was crying out. Galatians 5:1 is what got me into the series. Because I read that verse and it began to burn in my heart. For freedom, Christ sets you free. And I began to look up freedom and liberty and verses that are connected with that. And the Bible has so much about it. Freedom about from the curse of the law, and freedom from the condemnation of sin, and freedom from the power of sin. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath set us free from the law of sin and death. Freedom from Satan, sin, every evil. Freedom from the sting of death. 1 Corinthians 15:55-57. What I'm trying to do by this introduction is show you that I'm not exaggerating God's emphasis. When we come to a message like liberty and freedom, the Bible is just full of it. There's a tremendous weight of Scripture. And I was amazed, honestly, and I'm not trying to be humble now, but I was amazed as I faced these Scriptures head on how little I knew of what the Bible means by liberty and freedom in the Lord. So many verses, so many passages dealing with freedom. And so this is what I want to look at this weekend. I am not claiming that I have all the answers on freedom. Boy, there's an awful lot of ground to be possessed. But I know this, that a little bit has been opened. And all my heart is thrilling with the little bit that I've seen. And that's what I want to share with you. Just that little bit, that glimpse that God has given me about liberty. What does it mean to be free in the Lord? How may I be delivered from all bondage? The Son, therefore, shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. Jim wrote a song about that. Maybe we'll sing that sometime this weekend. What I want to do in this introduction lesson is sort of let you catch the spirit. I don't want to end up giving you ABC 1, 2, 3 so you can write it down and all. But just to catch the spirit of what the Bible teaches about freedom. I want you to taste it. I'm going to dangle it before you, and then we'll take it apart step by step. For freedom, Christ has set you free. Now, let me give you a little outline for those that like logical connection. Let me give you a little outline that we're going to be following this weekend. In order to understand liberty, as you know, often you know what something is by knowing what it is not. And in one sense, I don't even like introduction lessons, but I think they're necessary. And in one sense, we're not even going to look at liberty tonight. Because I know in my own heart so much of what I'm going to share has come out of my own life and experience. But we've got to begin, as we did last year on another occasion, what liberty is not. We've got to begin there. That's what we're going to look at tonight. What liberty is not. And then our next lesson, what liberty is. We'll just get a definition. There's three aspects to liberty. You can't have liberty without those three aspects. And oh, they're transforming truth. What liberty is. And then after that, we're going to look at the foundation of liberty. I'll give it to you now, and then we'll develop it later. What is the foundation of liberty? The answer is the finished work and the unfinished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The finished work and the unfinished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. And then the next lesson will be, what is the method of liberty? And the answer is pure grace. Pure grace. And then what is the means of liberty? And the answer is childlike faith. And then finally, what's the result of liberty? And the answer is a holy walk with God. A holy walk with God. What liberty is not, what liberty is, the foundation of liberty, the finished and the unfinished work of the Lord Jesus. The method is pure grace, the means is simple faith, and the result is a holy walk with God. That's where we're going. And I trust that you'll hold this series up in prayer, that the Lord will give us grace. Well, let's begin. I'll begin in an uninspired way, and we'll look at a human definition. This didn't come from the Bible, it came from the dictionary. What is liberty? Well, Webster says, freedom or release from slavery, imprisonment, captivity, or any other kind of control. I think inherent in that definition is one of the main reasons that so many don't know liberty. Freedom is release from bondage. And if we're like the Jews in John 8:33, we are Abram's offspring. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How do you say to us, you shall become free? You see, if you've never been illumined to your bondage, if you've never seen your captivity, if you've never understood your slavery, then freedom means nothing. God gave my wife and I a very wonderful gift, a deaf child. And oh, how we rejoice in that gift that God has given us. John has never heard a sound since the day he's been born. Never heard music. Is he less happy because he's never heard music? You see, he doesn't miss it because he doesn't have it. Though I know there's some inconveniences. And sometimes when we're all talking around, he wishes he could enter into the conversation. And in that sense, he notices it. But if he were all of a sudden given his hearing, you know what he'd say? I never knew what I was missing. And the same thing would be true of blindness. Someone were blind and all of a sudden that inconvenience were removed and God were to give back sight. They would say, well, I never knew that so much was included in sight. When you don't have it, you don't miss it. And I think that's why the unsaved don't care about getting saved. They've never tasted it. They've never entered into it, so they don't even miss it. I don't know if you've ever had this experience. I have. You come to the Word of God. Right now, I'm free. I tell you, I could fly away. I'm free. But I know as I come to this book, God is going to open the book increasingly, show me things that set me free. And I'm going to find out about bondage I didn't even know I was in. Right now, I'm as free as could be. But from God's point of view, there's an awful lot of bondage here. I don't even know what it is. And as God begins to reveal Himself through this book, you're set free. And the chains fall. You sit there, you think you're free, and all of a sudden the chains fall. You ever had that experience? I think maybe this weekend, when we look at what freedom is, He'll also show us what bondage is. That's why you don't have to say, Lord, deliver me from this bondage and this bondage. And you don't even know what bondage. Lord, show me Jesus. And you'll be delivered from all the bondage He wants you to be delivered from. What liberty is not? Let me very logically give you five things I know. There's a lot about liberty I don't know. But these five things I'm absolutely certain. And they're going to get tougher as I go on. And what I mean by tougher as I go on, I know nobody thinks this first one. But as I go on, maybe some more are involved in this one, you know. All right. Liberty is not absolute. Webster says, liberty is freedom, or release from slavery, from captivity, or any other kind of control. He doesn't really mean that. He couldn't mean that. Because if you took that literally, word for word, as Webster has recorded it, then you'd end up with God. Only God is free. See, that definition says when you're completely free, severed from all ties and restraints, and there is not a creature that God has ever created that is free absolutely. So whatever the Bible means about liberty, it's not talking about absolute freedom. The high seraphim and the cherubim in heaven, they're not absolutely free. No creature's free. God is the self-existent one, and everything is dependent upon Him. I could prove that very easily. Can you fly? You can't fly. You're not free. If you were free, you could fly. But you're held. You're not free. You're held down to the earth by gravity, by weight. The laws of aerodynamics don't work on your body, you see. We use the expression, free as a bird. And maybe we'll be free as birds by the time this series is over. You ever stop to think about that? Is a bird free? A bird isn't free at all. He's dependent. And dependence always limits freedom. A bird is limited by many things. He's limited by fears. There are predatory beasts that want to devour him all the time. He's limited by his hunger. He's limited by his instincts. Weather holds him back. Air pressure holds him back. Free as a bird. A bird's in terrible bondage. So whatever freedom is, it's not absolute freedom. Only God is free that way. I'm not free. I can't see in the dark. A cat, a bat is freer than I am in that respect. I can't hold my breath underwater. A fish is freer than I am. I can for a couple of minutes, not that long, a few seconds. Everything's limited. My ears are limited. My eyes are limited. A brain that God gave man to distinguish him above all the other creatures, that's limited. Everything's limited. We're not free. You get tired. Maybe you're tired now. Wake up. It's fatigued. You get exhausted. You need Geritol. I know this for sure, that only God is absolutely free. God doesn't need to eat. God doesn't need air in his lungs. God doesn't need to exercise. God doesn't need to rest, because he's free. He's free to do anything he wants to do, anywhere he wants to do it, anytime he wants to do it, in every detail, without being interfered with by anything whatsoever. That's freedom. You're not going to end up with that this weekend. Or ever. So when we talk about freedom, no creature is free in the way God is free. So liberty in Christ and freedom in the Lord, that's not going to give you wings, and you're not going to become omnipotent. There's another thing that freedom is not. Freedom is not license to do your own thing. Freedom is not license. Now, that's not novel. Peter warned of it in 1 Peter 2:16. In 1 Peter 2:16, he says, "Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil." Have you ever heard the word libertine? Libertine? It's an interesting origin. I traced a little bit of the etymology of the word. It comes from the days of Roman slavery. When a man was set free from Roman slavery, he was called a freeman or a libertine. The word libertine started off as a wonderful word. It just meant a Roman slave set free. That was a libertine. Well, those Roman slaves liked the idea about being free, not being under control, under dominion. And so they began to go out and live as free men. And they got into immorality. You look up libertine in a dictionary today, and it doesn't say a Roman slave that's been set free. Listen to what it says now. A man who leads an unrestrained life. An immoral man. A licentious person. That's what a libertine is. Started off Someone who was set free. But he took that freedom and then he went off and did his own thing. Many, many Christians who think they have liberty are libertines. They use their liberty as a license to sin. We're free in the Lord, they say. I don't have to quit that particular thing. God never spoke to my heart about that. When God speaks to me about that, then I'm going to give it up. That's the basis of this great liberty movement going through our country. All of this liberation, you know, this everything from women's lib to child's lib. I understand a child took his mother to court because she wasn't bringing him up the right way and all this kind of thing. Everyone wants to be free, and they use the word liberty. We have a liberation movement, gay liberation movement. It says liberty, see? Free love and free sex. The whole idea is Psalm 2:3. Let us tear their fetters apart and cast their cords from us. I don't want to be held down. I don't want to be held back. But we're going to talk about freedom, and I know what it isn't. It's not what the world means when they say free-spirited. It's a dangerous expression. It's a Bible expression, but it's dangerous. I'm not under the law. Ever hear that? We're going to touch on that this weekend. But oh, is that often very misunderstood? I'm not under the penalties of the law, but I'm under the precepts of the law. I'm not under the curse of the law, but I'm under the government of the law. You say, well, that's not me. I believe in freedom in the Lord, but I'm not going to go out and sin. There's other ways to apply that license. Let me give you a couple of examples. If I get close, don't raise your hand or anything. There's an idea of liberty, and I promise you, I'm not knocking this, because maybe as an expression, it might have a legitimate place. But there's an idea of liberty that I am going to trust God to guide my spirit-controlled conscience. And my conscience is going to tell me what's right and tell me what's wrong. And when I'm wrong, my conscience is going to register guilty. And when it's not wrong, I'm going to trust God to guide my spirit-controlled conscience. And my conscience is going to tell me what's right and tell me what's wrong. And when I'm wrong, my conscience is going to register guilty. And when it's not wrong, my conscience is going to give me a green light and I'm going to go on. And I'm going to be free. I'm going to know intuitively the will of God. If my conscience is bothered, I won't do it. If my conscience tells me to forgive someone, I'll forgive them. But until God deals with me, then I will not deal with that thing. I don't mean to play with this next one. Listen. I'll prove this by the time our meetings are over. A person accepts Jesus Christ, and the living God comes in his life. The living God comes in his heart. And he says, I want to have liberty. I want to have freedom. And now God is in my heart. And I want to let God live out through me. I want to let God live out His own life in me. And so I have one responsibility. It's obvious. Surrender. Just let God live. Be a pipe. Be a channel. One person expressed it this way. Sit on the sidelines and watch Him live His life through you. You're not living at all. When I let Him live, that He prompts me to do His will. He inclines me from within. And so He leads me, and I know who to visit, and I know who to write letters to. And God is living through me. It's not my conscience guiding me. It's the Spirit of the living God. It's the Christ within. It's the God within. It's the Holy Spirit within. I can't live the Christian life. He can. And He does through me. And He urges me along, and He motivates me, and He gives me inner impulses. One man expressed it to me this way. He says, I was walking down the street, and I felt the intuitive jab of the Holy Spirit to go do a certain thing or see a certain person. And so my only responsibility is to surrender. I don't care how spiritual that sounds. It is not It is not what it means to be free in Christ. That is not the message of liberty in the Lord. God wants it for freedom. Christ has set us free. You see right away that leaves out the Bible, that whole approach. You know that can't be. It's not the Christ within, see? That is not free. We want to see freedom. We want to be free in the Lord. But that is not God's liberty. That whole thing is too subjective. Whether you follow your flesh as a libertine, or whether you follow your mind, or whether you follow your will, or whether you follow your conscience, or whether you follow the Holy Spirit within, the Christ within, that is not freedom. That is not liberty. And if that's your idea of liberty, then God needs to show you something this weekend. That's not the liberty of the Bible. That's not the freedom of the Bible. There's another aspect which is very subtle. It comes out, freedom from responsibility. They say that God allows me to do what I want to do, and when He works it in my heart, I'm going to do it. And I don't want man to dictate to me. I want God to dictate to me. I remember when I was a student at Moody Bible Institute. We used to call it Instant Bible Moody Institute. I remember one time, it happened more than once, but one time I was caught. I didn't show up for classes. And I had an excellent reason for not showing up for classes, I thought. Dr. Culbertson, the president of Moody Bible Institute, didn't think it was an excellent reason. He wanted me to sit in a boring missions class when I could be telling derelicts about the Lord Jesus Christ and the way to salvation. And I felt like their immortal souls was more important than sitting in a boring missions class. He didn't agree with that. I know a man who in the last month lost his job. And the reason he lost his job is because God led him to stay out of work so many days so he could study his Bible. And he lost his job. He's free. If God lays that on my heart, I can do that. Witness on company time, it's all right. It's the work of the Lord, isn't it? On the way here today, we stopped in a rest area, and there was a big sign on the bathroom wall, "Prepare to meet your God." Well, I'm sure the man who scratched that on the sign, you see, I read all the signs on the bathroom. The man who scratched that on the wall, he probably felt like God has really moved. I'm going to do that. It'll be a chance to witness the mission field passing through here every day. Right? He was moved. He felt an impulse. You see, God is not playing games with you. And He's not going to let you sit there wondering, is this the voice of the Holy Spirit? Is this the voice of the human spirit? Or is this the voice of the evil spirit? You ever try to figure that out? You talk about bondage. That is not liberty. Whatever liberty is, and we'll look at it, but it doesn't mean to do your own thing, follow your conscience, or follow the Christ that's living within. I think one of the main attacks that I've received as a preacher of the grace of God is people say that my message produces libertines. People get so free in Christ, they get lazy, and they get passive, and they don't do anything. They just sit around waiting for God to do it all. Well, let's see what freedom is. It's not that. Whatever freedom is, it's not just freedom from all restraints and all restrictions and all responsibilities. I read a poem one time about a kite that felt that way. And the kite said, "Oh, if I could only get free that lousy string that keeps holding me back. If that string would break, I could fly up into the blue heaven and the white clouds and I could be so free." And the poem goes on and the string breaks and the next scene, the kite is all broken and bent in the limb of a tree. Webster says, liberty is freedom from all control. That's bondage. That's not freedom. What is freedom? Well, I know for sure it's not absolute freedom. Only God's free that way. And I know for sure that it's not license to do your own thing, even though it sounds spiritual. Exodus 4:23 says, "Let my son go that he may serve me." I want to be free so that I can serve the Lord. Can't serve him without being free. "Let my son go that he may serve me." Romans 6:22 says the same thing. "Now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification." Let me tell you another thing freedom is not. Freedom is not exemption from inward struggles or outward afflictions. Now, a quick scan of the Bible is going to prove that. You look at men like Job or men like Daniel, Paul or Asaph. They knew freedom, but it wasn't freedom from trouble. The Bible never teaches that if you accept Christ, you're going to be free from trouble. God says that you're illegitimate children if you escape the rod of discipline. Whatever liberty in the Lord is, it's deeper than those surface storms that touch our bodies. I have a wonderful and rare copy. I think it's a rare copy. I've never seen any before. Of Fanny Crosby's life story. I say rare because it was written by herself. It's the testimony that she gives firsthand. Now, you recognize Fanny Crosby as the blind hymn writer. She was made blind, I think it was 6 weeks. By the malpractice of a physician. Some people say that the physician was drunk, but Fanny Crosby in her testimony doesn't mention that, whether it was a fact or not. I've written down her testimony. Listen to this. And now this is Fanny Crosby. "It seems intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life. How I thank Him for that dispensation. I've heard that the physician has never ceased expressing regret at this occurrence, and that it was one of the sorrows of his life. But if I could meet him now, I would say, thank you, over and over again, for making me blind. If it was through your agency that it came about, thank you. I assure you, I mean it, every word of it. And if perfect sight were offered to me tomorrow, I would not accept it. It was not a blunder on the physician's part. Oh, it was a blunder on the physician's part, but not on God." What a tremendous testimony. Now that's freedom. Liberty in the midst. Not freedom from trouble, but in the midst of it. A lot of people are led astray in the first chapter of their new Christian lives because some preacher gets up and says, "Give your heart to Jesus and He'll solve all your problems." Give your heart to Jesus and you'll find some new problems you never thought you had. You're going to line up with the one who went the way of the cross. Whatever freedom is, it's not freedom from struggles and affliction. Satan's not bruised under your feet yet. You're still in need of chastening. There's a lot of pruning to be done in your heart and in your life. I received a wonderful book in the mail, a book of poetry. The name of it is The Christian Book of Mystical Verse. Familiar with it? By A.W. Tozer? Well, there's a little poem in there entitled Freedom. Listen to this. "A little bird I am, shut from the fields of air, and in my cage I sit and sing to Him who placed me there. Well pleased a prisoner to be, because my God that pleases Thee. My cage confines me round, abroad I cannot fly, but though my wing is closely bound, my heart's at liberty. The prison walls cannot control the flight, the freedom of my soul." Now that's where we're heading. Not an absolute freedom so that I can play God and do God-like feats. Not license to do my own thing, casting off all restraint. That isn't freedom. That might sound like freedom, but that's not freedom. Not exemption from troubles and sorrows. You're going to have your share of those. "Thou preparest the table before me in the absence of mine enemies." In the presence of mine enemies. What is it to be free? To be childlike? Say, boy, the children are free. Well, I've got six children, and they're so free. Yeah, they're free from ignorance. That's why they're free. They don't understand inflation or fear or danger. They don't know anything about it. That's why they're free. God doesn't free us by ignorance. The truth shall set you free. It's a revelation. It's not by ignorance. Let me tell you something else freedom is not. Freedom is not deliverance from formality. Many people think that if they break with tradition, if they break with organization, if they become informal, then they're free. They're not inhabited, you see. There's a subjective movement. Maybe you've seen it. Maybe you're in it. Maybe you've experienced it. That is sweeping the Church of Jesus Christ today. Much of it is based on feelings. Strangely enough, much of it is centered around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say that to its credit. But anyway, in this movement, there's a lot of talk about freedom. A lot of talk about liberty. Now, words don't always mean the same things to the people who use the word. You might use a word and mean one thing. I might use it and mean another. But as I understand it, and I've chatted with people who believe this, is what they mean by freedom. You see, they teach that God is known and God is worshipped in spirit. That's accurate, isn't it? He's worshipped in spirit and in truth. And they say, we are so fed up with all of the denominational routine, with all of the regimen and order. You start off and you have two songs, and then you have some announcements, and then you have an offering, and then you have a special. And then you have maybe another song, and then you have the message. And that's always 3 points in a poem. And then there's a closing song, and then there's an invitation, and then there's a... Every week, same thing. Boom, boom, boom. One, two, three. A, B, C. Little A, little B, little C. Little one, two, three. And they say, we want freedom, implied, from the forms of men. We want to worship God in our spirits. We do not want to be hindered. We want to express what's really down inside. And we don't want to be ashamed. Now, man has put on some restrictions. We've got to be refined. We've got to be cultured. We've got to sit there sophisticated and fold our hands and bow our heads and do all the right things. They hold us in chains. All this tradition, all this formalism. What if in my heart I want to cry? Can I cry? What if I want to leap and praise God and jump and dance before the Lord? What if I want to raise my hands or clap or shout? Oh, we can't do that because we're in bondage. And they say freedom is when my spirit, in unembarrassed freedom of speech, is allowed to worship God as it wants to worship God. So that I'm not confined by culture, and I'm not confined by society, and I'm not confined by tradition and rules and regulations, and even my body holds me back when my spirit finally gets free, and I can worship God as I want to worship God, and use my for freedom. Christ has set you free. I'm not saying there's no place for that, and I'm not even saying that's not a legitimate expression of freedom, but it's not freedom. Don't celebrate the celebration. Celebrate the event, what freedom is. And that's not freedom. Whatever else freedom is, it's not that. Galatians 5:1, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Freedom is not an absolute freedom. Only God has that. Freedom doesn't mean that now you're free to do your own thing, and as God moves you, then you're going to go this way or go that. That isn't freedom. That's something else we're not going to touch on this weekend, but that's not freedom. It's not exemption from trouble and suffering and affliction and trial. You're going to go through that. And it's not even expression of your spirit to worship God as it wants to worship God, free from tradition. What is freedom? The Bible has tons of verses on freedom. And He wants you to be free. For freedom, Christ made you free. Don't answer. Are you free in the Lord? You don't even know what it is. That's what we want to look at this weekend. Let me give you one more thing freedom is not. Just to prepare your hearts for when we begin to look in this book to see what freedom is. Oh, it's marvelous. When you begin... Yeah, that's tomorrow. Let me tell you one other thing freedom is not. Freedom is not, and this is subtle, absence of legalism. That's not freedom. Absence of legalism. I don't know if any of you have been burned as badly as I've been burned by legalism. I know some of your testimonies. I know some of you have been burned. You know, you get so busy working for the Lord, you have no time for the Lord. You get up early in the morning and you have meetings every night and you get involved in every program and you're driving every bus and singing in every choir and handing out tracts and visiting every group that needs visiting, to the neglect of your health and to the neglect of your family and to the neglect of your sanity and your time alone with God. And then one day you find out that doesn't work. That's not where it's at. All of this busyness and all of this activity and there's no fruit and there's no joy and I'm spinning my tires and I'm wanting to go forward with the Lord, but it's nothing but self. It's nothing but... And so you quit. You drop off every committee and you quit every program and you just throw your hands up in despair and say, I'm not going to do that anymore. I drop my membership from every organization and you cry, I'm free. I'm free from legalism. So are many unsaved people. Many unsaved people are not legalists. They're free from legalism. Absence of legalism is not freedom. And so many times that's how it's preached. Don't be legalistic. And so you're delivered from legalism as if that's freedom in the Lord. There's no freedom in the Lord. You can be absent from legalism and in terrible spiritual bondage. What's freedom? Let me close with this illustration, and we'll pick it up tomorrow. When I was a student at Columbia Bible College, they said, boy, he hit all the colleges. He couldn't pass any of them, so I kept transferring. When I went down to Columbia Bible College, Dr. Alan Fleece was the president. I'm going to give you a taste for freedom now. I'm going to give you an illustration that he gave us as students that I never forgot. An illustration that began to open up the message of freedom to my own heart. I'll give you the illustration tomorrow. We'll pick up what freedom means. He said the way the word is used in the original, the word freedom means in your element. When you are operating in your element, the element for which you were created, you're free. So a bird is free in the air. And a fish is free in the water. And you were created for fellowship with your God. That's your element. Tomorrow we'll look at what freedom is. It's not an absolute kind of a thing. It's not do your own thing. It's not exemption from all kinds of problems. It's not this freedom to express your spirit and to break from tradition and all. It's not absence of legalism. What it is. Stay tuned tomorrow. Thank you. Let's bow together and let's trust the Lord to really meet with us this weekend. For freedom, Christ has set you free. Our Father, we do thank Thee this evening that You have not left us on our own to understand the glorious freedom that we have in Christ. And we pray that in the subsequent studies, as we look together in Your Word, that You might enlighten our hearts to the reality of freedom. Deliver us from every idea of men. And You teach our heart of hearts, our inner spirit. Thank You in advance that You're going to prepare us and You're going to do this. Because we claim it in Jesus' name.